Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm. We have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. And our program is available in podcast form at those locations, as well as iTunes, or wherever you like to get your podcasts. And that goes for all of the programming that you can find here on Trumpet Radio. What is the real purpose of God's church? What does God want His church to do? Well, in order to understand this, we have to take a look at the world today. Now, the church is called to come out of the world, to be different than this world. If you remember some of the history from Genesis, you recall that when Adam sinned, the world, all those that came from him, the world was cut off from God's Holy Spirit, cut off from access to God, except for the very few that God was calling for His special purpose. And God does call a few today as well. Satan is still the god of this world. You can read about that in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. As hard as that is to believe for many people, it's the truth. And just taking an honest look at what's happening in this world and all the different problems, you know certainly those don't come from God. Satan is still the god of this world. But the great news is that God has a master plan to bring salvation to the whole world. God doesn't leave anybody out. He'll call every person in their season, give them a chance, open up their minds to understand His truth when they're ready to accept it, and give them an opportunity to grow and to develop and to be part of His family, to be born into His family. And He has a plan for that. Let's notice a passage here in Revelation 13 and take a look at some of the events of the world, some of the history of the world, as we look at the purpose of God's church. We have a few passages today, and we're going to begin in Revelation 13 in verse 8. Now, if you look at Revelation 13 and get the context, here in verse 1, it's talking about a beast's power. And if you need to know more about that, and of course there's always a lot to study into there, even if you're familiar with it somewhat, we have a free book at thetrumpet.com, Who or What is the Prophetic Beast? And that goes into detail about this. But it's a power that teaches error and lies and actually persecutes and kills God's people. And you can learn a lot more about that in that free booklet at thetrumpet.com. But I want to focus here on Revelation 13 and verse 8. And it says, "And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him," talking about this beast, "whose names are not written in the book of life, of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world." And so what we're focusing on here in this passage is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Here's a quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. That's a free course at thetrumpet.com. Please sign up for that if you have not. It says, "The closing of the tree of life from the human family marked the foundation of the present world still ruled invisibly by Satan. At that very foundation of this world, it was determined by God that the Word would be born on earth as the sacrificial Lamb of God to redeem mankind from the rule of Satan the kidnapper." See, we just read there in Revelation 13 and verse 8 that the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. Well, what is the foundation of this present evil world? Well, as we just read, it's when Adam and Eve rejected God, rejected revelation, and were cut off from the tree of life. Eve was deceived. Adam was not, but he chose to follow his wife and ultimately follow Satan and reject God. And so that's the foundation of this present evil world. Man rejecting God's revelation, going his own way, and mankind has been doing that ever since. And so that's the world that we live in today. That's the foundation of it, is rejecting God and rejecting His truth and rejecting revelation. And so Satan is the god of this world. and he leads through deception, intimidation, fear, anxiety, all sorts of problems, but fundamentally lies. He lies. He's a liar, Christ said, and a murderer. And so we see lies in this world all of the time. Revelation 13 and verse 8 says, "A lamb was slain from the foundation of the world." So notice this, back in Genesis 3, verses 9 through 13. Let's take a look at this history of the world and the foundation of it. It says, "And the eternal God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where are you? And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree whereof I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, Well, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the eternal God said unto the woman, What is this that you have done? And the woman said, Well, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." So everyone's playing the blame game, as it were. Adam blamed Eve, and ultimately God there. He said, Well, you gave me the woman. And the woman said, Well, the serpent beguiled me. And they were all blaming each other. But there was sin. There was sin there. And God and the Word understood what sin meant. It meant that there was going to have to be a sacrifice. And they knew that the world would now be cut off from God, except for the very few first fruits in this age that we're in, the New Testament age. And in the Old Testament period, there were a few that were called as well and used, prophets. They also knew, God and the Word, that the Word would have to come to earth as the human Jesus Christ and risk his eternal life, living a perfect life and being killed as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. Now, of course, to be forgiven of sin, people have to repent. But there had to be a sacrifice paid, and Christ paid that price so that mankind could repent. Man had to be able to be forgiven of sin, and there had to be a sacrifice for it. And of course, the Word was creator of all. And so his perfect life paid the penalty for his creation, which is mankind. But that sin set the course of this world as we see it today, a world that goes contrary to God, except for the few that God calls, and they have to accept his calling, of course. But when we understand this history and what had to happen, it adds a lot more weight to that question in verse 13. What is this that you have done? What did you do? Our sins impact a lot more than just ourselves, or even those around us. What do our sins do to Jesus Christ? What do they do to God the Father? See, there's something to think about here personally as well, as we look at this very important history. They knew what would have to happen, God and the Word. They knew that sin meant that the Word would come to this earth. He'd be flesh and blood, a human being just like you and me, and he'd have to live a perfect life, and he would risk everything, you know, because if he sinned, then he would have died forever, and we would have no Savior, and the Father would have been alone. Of course, he had the righteous angels and would have them, but still not a family, not his eternal companion. What is this that you have done? We have to think about how serious sin is, how serious it is. In the booklet, How to Be an Overcomer, Trumpet Editor-in-Chief Mr. Gerald Fleury writes about David's sin. I think you're familiar with that. And then he asks the reader this, quote, "When you sin, do you realize you are sinning against God? And when we sin, we give people the chance to blaspheme God. We can bring all kinds of problems into the church. The reason is that we represent God. Those that are in God's church represent God. David represented God. He was king of Israel. And God had set him so. And because of the sins, it gave people a chance to blaspheme God. So we have to understand how serious sin is. Mr. Fleury continues and says, when you sin, you ram a spear into Christ's side. That is the reason he died, because you and I sin. If nobody else ever were to enter the kingdom of God but you, Christ still would have subjected himself to that gruesome execution. There is a terrible penalty for sin, and someone has to pay it. That's the way it must be according to the law of God. See, God's a law-abiding God, of course. He's lawful. And there has to be a penalty for sin. Christ paid that penalty. But that's how serious sin is. That's how serious it was when Adam and Eve sinned. That's how serious it is today when anyone sins. When Christ came to this earth as a human, he had to qualify to replace Satan on the throne of this earth. He had to qualify. He had to go through a very intense battle with Satan. You can read about that in Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11. It's a titanic battle. Mr. Armstrong talked about how it was really the biggest battle of the ages. Sometimes people think about different battles over the years if they're interested in war history or things like that. Well, this was the greatest battle ever between Christ and Satan. Christ conquered Satan, thankfully. He conquered Satan by being very close to God and relying on the power of God's Spirit. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights in preparation for that battle, which very few people could do, but he was in perfect condition to do it. But it was still a great challenge for him, and he drew very close to God. But notice, this does all tie into, again, what's the purpose of the church? See, we have to understand the history. We have to understand that Satan is a god of this world today until Christ returns to replace him, although he has qualified to do it. And we have to understand that God does have a plan of salvation for all of mankind, but currently mankind is cut off from God. Because at the foundation of this present evil world in which we live, Adam and Eve sinned and they rejected God's knowledge, and mankind does the same today. But notice here, Mark 1, verses 13 through 15. This is right on the heels of that battle with Satan, where Christ defeated him. Mark 1, verse 13, it says, And he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted of Satan, and was with the wild beasts. And the angels ministered unto him. And now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, and notice what he did, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He started preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He did that after he defeated Satan and qualified to rule on this earth and take over the rulership of this earth. Verse 15, and saying, Christ saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. That's what he was telling people to do. And of course, God has to call people and then they have to repent and believe the gospel. The gospel, the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. Notice this quote from the correspondence course. It says, never until Christ qualified could the good news of the coming kingdom of God be announced to this world. Once the Son of God resisted and conquered Satan, he qualified to reestablish God's government and set up the kingdom of God on earth. And of course, reestablished the government, because it was on this earth at one time. God's government was on this earth. Lucifer actually implemented it for a time. And then, of course, he rebelled and became Satan, the adversary. And God's government was destroyed and rebelled against. And so when Christ returns, he will reestablish it on this earth. But notice this. It says, the church must also qualify to rule with him. Now we're getting to the crux of today's topic. Why the church? Well, the church is qualifying today to rule with Christ. It says, before he started the New Testament church, Jesus called his 12 disciples. A disciple is a student or a learner. Christ chose them. They didn't choose him. He told Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." See, God does the calling. People don't just of their own say, "Yeah, I think I'm going to go find the truth of God, and I'm going to be a disciple." God has to do the calling. Jesus taught, it says, and trained the 12 disciples so they could become teachers, so he could start the church around them. The apostles would form part of the foundation of the church. They would be the teachers of those whom God would call into his church later. But none became a member of the church until after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And so, can anyone just enter God's true church? That's a great question. Well, notice the answer. This is the answer in John 6 and verse 44. It says, "No man can come to me." This is Christ's own words. "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." No one can come to Christ unless God the Father does the calling. I mean, it's so important. It's such an important calling. It's such a serious commitment that only God can call somebody. The correspondence course says, "No man can come to Christ except the Spirit of the Father draws him." Jesus did not say, "Whosoever will may come now." Right? That's not right now. There will be a time when God's Spirit is again given freely and the world is no longer cut off from God, but that's not right now. That's not right now. It says the disciples were called and trained so they could teach others whom God would call into his church. So God calls people into his church, and then he has a government set up to teach others. And then eventually they go and they teach others, and then they go and they teach others. And you see how the pattern expands and grows, and the family grows and it builds. The family of God, the kingdom of God. See, that's the gospel message. It's the good news of the soon coming kingdom and family of God. And that's not this world today. This world is, again, has a foundation there in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve rejecting revelation. And so when you look at religion today, and you look at multiple churches around the globe, there's so many of them, denominations and so forth, and different religions, they're all founded on the thinking of man. Even if some do occasionally quote the Bible, they misinterpret, they misunderstand, they misapply. It's based on traditions of men, as Christ said. He said, "Look, you can say, 'Lord, Lord,' that's fine, but you know, you have to keep my word, not just the traditions of men." And yet many people keep the traditions of men and maybe mix in something from the Bible, a couple of thoughts or ideas, and usually misapply them. But God's true church lives by every word of God. That's where the doctrines come from. And it runs according to God's government. And God has to call people into that church. And it is a teacher's college. The church is being taught and being trained today so that, again, they are prepared to help rule with Christ, to be the bride of Christ. And also at this time, warn the world. Give God's warning message to this world. Teach the truth of God as a warning and a witness. So God's people can't take their calling lightly. When God calls somebody, they have to decide, what will they do with it? Will they accept it? Will they let God work through them? Will they let Christ come in their flesh through the power of the Holy Spirit? Will they repent and be baptized and begin that process of growing and changing and being converted and coming out of this world? See, the church is not part of this society today. It's to come out of this world, and God the Father has to do the calling. Here's a quote from a booklet on Jude, and it's at thetrumpet.com, and it's a free book. It's an excellent book to get and to read, and it talks a bit about how God calls people. And it quotes Jude 1, Jude 1 in the King James, which is the best translation for this. It says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called. That's a lot that has to happen before a person is even called. Sanctified or set apart by God the Father, right? That's John 6 and verse 44. And preserved in Jesus Christ and then called. Trumpet editor-in-chief Mr. Gerald Fleury, who wrote this book, he says, this verse confirms something that God's people have believed for many years but never had a scripture to reinforce the idea. This calling is not some casual thing, like just happening to turn on the church television broadcast. This word called has a deeper meaning. Jude says that first of all, we are sanctified by God the Father, then preserved in Jesus Christ, and then finally we are called. Quite a different sequence of events, but that's the way it reads in the Greek. And why would God have to go through that whole process? Why would he do that? Well, it's because the world today is cut off from God. And God has called his church, those in his church, to be trained, to be taught, so that when he does call the rest of humanity, after Christ's return and his plan unfolds from that point forward, there'll be teachers to help people. But we have to be preparing. God's people have to be preparing today to help teach this world. And so it's a very special thing to be called by God, but it's a great responsibility. And it's not a selfish calling. It's a calling that ultimately will lead to being able to help many others. Just like Christ worked with his original disciples. And they went out and taught. And they were part of the foundation of the church. Foundation built on the apostles and the prophets. And now God continues to teach today. Continues to teach and work with his people to then work with many more people in the future. It's a wonderful picture when we begin to understand the purpose of the church. If you'd like to learn more about this topic, you can find much more information by signing up for the Herbert W. Armstrong Bible Correspondence Course and also reading Mystery of the Ages. There's a chapter specifically there about the church that gives you a lot more details as well. That's all the time we have for today on this edition of Live by Every Word. Thanks for spending some time with me. I'm Dwight Falk. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.